So you go back, and then you, there's a reactivity behind it, and you are right, and so you grow, your sense of self grows. And when after you've shouted at him, you walk back and then say, oh, that was good, that felt really good. It didn't really feel good, but the egoic sense of self can't tell between good and bad. It often, it's what's good, what's bad, it calls good. Your body knows that it wasn't good because it suffered in this attack of anger. The circulation, the flow of life energy through the body, everything suddenly got obstructed, and an enormous tightening in every cell. And the body said, what's going on here? Something dreadful is happening. So to see, all that is self-seeking, seeking a stronger sense of self. So you could be sitting here and complain in your head about the situation. It's too hot here. Why are there too many people? They shouldn't have. They shouldn't be. So how do we get, if these are this is a collective mindset, a self-seeking mindset, how do we go beyond that? And it's been there for so many thousands of years. Everybody trapped in it. Everybody trapped in an illusory sense of self that continuously seeks to enhance itself, no matter through what, through being right, yeah, great. Through being miserable, great. An essential characteristic of that sense of self is antagonism, to be at odds with what is. The essential, if you look to the very root of that sense of self, what is it that lies at the root of that sense of self? And you could say, to get to the very, the most simple, the most fundamental root of the illusion, it doesn't like what is. It's running away always from the suchness of this moment. It does not honor this moment because it's seeking more in the future. So the future is so much more important because that's where the more is that is going to make myself complete. So I'm not going to honor this moment because I don't even want to be here. It's not, I am not enough now. And the simple, so simple, to step out of that illusory sense of self that ultimately is suffering, is suffering, makes others suffer, makes yourself suffer. The simplicity of awakening out of that illusory sense of self is so incredible that the mind can't get it. And it is not to fight the present moment internally. Not to stand in opposition internally to the suchness of this moment. And that can start with a little thing, like sitting here, some moderate physical discomfort may arise. Normal tendency is the mind will step in at that moment and complain, then you can recognize that tendency, the reactivity through which the self strengthens itself, and you can drop it. Or one could say, when you recognize it, and you can recognize that it serves no purpose except to strengthen a sense of self, you can drop it and you can say, it is. This moment is as it is. Now this sounds, it's not, the mind says, what are you saying? That's not enough to awaken, but it is. The word this evening, the mantra that is the teaching of this evening, goes like this, it is. To align yourself with what is now. An openness to what is, not a reactive little me complaining, trying to get to the future to complete myself. Honor the isness of this moment. At that moment, when the moment you honor the isness, 500,000 years of collective mind conditioning cease to operate. The moment you honor the isness of now, you are no longer a conditioned entity. An unconditioned state of consciousness arises. And that is a state of spacious openness. A spaciousness arises. Now, there may not be spaciousness where you are sitting around you, but if you can allow this moment, including a certain amount perhaps of physical discomfort, if you can allow it to be, okay, there's the discomfort. I'm a little hot and not so comfortable, body aches here or too tight, but it is. And instead of complaining and reacting, you allow this moment to be. I allow this moment to be as it is. I say yes to it. The egoic sense of self, that moment collapses, doesn't operate anymore. When you become aligned with what is, that is the simplicity of awakening. The simplicity of enlightenment. Completely welcome the suchness of this moment. When you do that, there is the condition of this moment that changes continuously. In the one eternal moment, the appearance of that eternal moment in the world of form changes continuously, of course. Now, this moment manifests in form as the speaker, the words, and perhaps a certain amount of physical discomfort as you sit there. And it is allowed, the condition, let's just say it is a little bit of physical discomfort, the condition that arises at this moment, instead of being resisted and thereby strengthening a me, is allowed. And the strange thing that happens then is suddenly there is the condition that arises, and around it there is this, and I'm using a word that is not an explanation, it's only a little pointer. Around the condition, and the condition could be an internal condition, it could be an external physical condition, it could be a life situation, something happened, whatever condition, it arises. Can only arise in the now. And now it's not resisted because it is. You aligned with the isness of life, the one moment. There's only ever now. If you're not aligned with that, you're not aligned with life. because life can only appear now, can only manifest now. Life is not, there's no life other than now anywhere. Life and now are inseparable. So if you're not aligned with now, there's a little me that in his delusion says, I'm against life. I'm against the universe. Me against the universe. That is the madness of the egoic sense of self. So, the moment you allow whatever condition arises at this moment to be internally, there is a spaciousness around, an inner sense of space or spaciousness within which that condition happens. Now, to get what I'm pointing towards, you cannot analyze it mentally, because that spaciousness is the very thing that is beyond the noisy mind. There is no spaciousness in the noisy mind. But there is spaciousness, a vastness in, around, and underneath the noisy mind. The noisy mind is like a ripple, little ripples in a vast sea. So there is that vastness. You thought you were that ripple, trying to get to become a bigger ripple and maybe eventually a wave. Knowing yourself, not looking for yourself anymore in any condition that arises, internally as thought, externally as an event or a person or relationship, not looking for some confirmation that I am someone by reacting against a condition. That's all part of the egoic madness. Instead, it is allowed to be. You allow it to be. You allow life to be. Not a little me that it demands this should be different. It's allowed to be. You allow life to be. Where is life? Here. Now. Nowhere else. So you allow life to be. You become aligned with the one life that underlies all forms of life. The one formless, one consciousness before it is born into form temporarily. Suddenly there is a spaciousness around the arising condition, a sense of inner space around it that comes with the allowing. And there it happens. It could be a turbulent condition. It could, let's say, anger arises, a turbulent condition. And you say, there it is. You allow it to be. Suddenly, there's a space around the anger. The anger is still there, but it is allowed. Or something goes wrong, things, as the mind would call it, in your life. Every day, something, little things go wrong all the time. It's in the nature of things to go wrong. Of course, there's nothing wrong, but the mind calls it that and reacts against it because it strengthens itself. By even calling it wrong, it's already strengthened itself, because if that is wrong, I must be right. So I'm bigger. So something goes wrong, so to speak, and it simply, it is, the mantra arises, it is, and it's allowed. Not a little me fighting. Now the little me says, please don't do that, you will become powerless if you're no longer fighting. And that's the opposite of the truth. You are powerless because you're fighting what is. That is the state of powerlessness. But to the egoic sense of self, it looks like, okay, I'm going to make it. So true power is the power of the one intelligence, the one life. And really, you are an expression, a manifestation in form, a temporary manifestation of that in form. Just as the flower is. The only difference between you and the flower is that the flower has no problems. The flower has no relationship with itself. Humans have a relationship with themselves. Me, that's a big problem. And they go through their whole lives carrying the problem of me trying to make it work. This problematic sense of me, I have to make it work somehow. It's not in the nature of it to work. It's not even meant to work. It's simply there to awaken you. It takes you into suffering and frustration, and out of that you begin to awaken. And then, in a way, you could say, as a new consciousness arises from within you that is no longer opposed to what is, an unconditioned sense of simple presence. Presence. Alert, open, presence or beingness. So you awaken out of thought and being trapped in thought, a thought-based sense of self, mental image of me and my story, which is all thought. Not that you deny the form that you are temporarily, that is honored also. That is your temporary form. There's a name, there's a little past, and there's a little future that this form has. And this form interacts with other forms. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing even wrong with your story, your past. There's only something wrong when you're looking for yourself in it, for that essential sense of self, you're looking for it in the story of me, which is ultimately mental noise, and I'm looking for it to complete itself in the future. So you're looking for yourself in time, where you can never be, because there's no ultimate reality to time. It's inseparable from the human mind. So when you're looking for an identity in and through time, which is the past and the future, where hopefully you will complete yourself, that is the root of suffering and illusion, and that's why life is so problematic. Because you're looking for yourself where you aren't. And the only place where you are, you're not looking, which is now. And so, okay, so the mind says, okay, where am I in the now? You become friendly with the now. And that's an amazing thing. And of course, that may not yet happen all the time. The old condition of being hostile, antagonistic, an enemy of the now will occasionally reassert itself. And as this new state of consciousness arises, the unconditioned consciousness arises for the first time, perhaps on a larger scale on the planet, you will move back and forth. You will move back and again, suddenly the now will be your enemy again. And then you recognize that and you move out, and suddenly the shift happens and the very same situation is suddenly not resisted anymore, but welcomed. And once you see that suddenly enormous amount of intelligence is freed that before could not operate, you were not intelligent in a true sense, no matter how developed the mind was, that was only a tiny aspect of what true intelligence is. The human mind is a tiny aspect of the vastness of intelligence that expresses itself as the whole universe in form, the flower, the stars, the galaxies, the blade of grass, the animals, the human forms. Or underlying it, one vast intelligence expressing itself in the world of form, playing this beautiful game of form and playing the game of pretending that it doesn't know itself anymore. That's human form. And suddenly, there's an awakening and you remember who you are. You are who could you be other than the one thing that never leaves you? What's the one thing that never leaves you? No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happened, no matter what will happen in your life, what is it that's always there? You can be sure of that. It'll be now. It's always now. It's always now. Nothing can be that's not now. That's the one thing that remains constant, that everything unfolds now. So what is that now? The error that most people make when they talk about the present moment or the now, they think this is one of many, many moments, one moment after another moment and another moment. No. If you look at it deeply, you will see there are not many moments in your life. It's always this field of now. Now, what appears in it changes. As when you leave here, the now appears in a different form. The field of now, something else arises in now, and then it leaves. If you only know that which arises and stand in a reactive relationship to what arises in the now, that is the basis for a personal sense of me, then that's this delusion. All you know is the arising form, and you're trying somehow to look for yourself in the form that arises in the now, external or internal as a thought or a belief or reaction. A form arises externally in the now, you react against it, and you strengthen your own psychological form, the me, by reacting against another form. This is the nature of karma, action, reaction, action, reaction. And there's no end to it, unless you step out and suddenly karma comes to an end through allowing what is to be. This moment, which is the only one, what happens changes continuously, but that doesn't mean that there are many moments. There's only the field of now in which everything is. And that field of now is very still, a vast stillness. No matter how much noise humans make, the stillness is still there. And eventually the noise comes to an end, and the stillness remains untouched. And the amazing thing is, when you say yes to what is, if you are alert at that moment, you will notice a sense of stillness or peace arising from deep within.